Blog Talk Radio.
Better face. Looking at you, I can tell you've had hard times in your life. Now it's time for me to make everything right. I wanna shower you with lovely things, help you smile again. I wanna get to know you, make it right so you can breathe again.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and I'm here to make it better.
Yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and we gon' shine in love together.
From a broken heart, life got you down.
Life got you down.
And the bags under your eyes have the smiles inside. It's tearing you apart. Girl, you're looking at change. I'm a man who prays, and I'm strong in faith.
Strong in faith.
God must have had a plan. Placed you in my hand. Let me lead the
you're
way.
You're a diamond in the rough.
Diamond in the rough.
We gon'
shine in love together.
You're a diamond in the rough.
You're a diamond in the rough.
And I'm here to make it better.
Here for you, baby.
You're a diamond in the rough.
Oh,
we gon' shine in love together.
What's up, world? You just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio. And this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born events and Talk to Me Radio. And I just want to thank you for tuning in with me on tonight as we celebrate victory. Victory, because this is the ninth season. This marks a milestone for me and for Diamonds in the Rough doing this online broadcast. And I want to thank everybody that has tuned in and supported me. It's been well over 10,000 listeners. I just don't even keep track anymore. And over 160 shows that I've done, a few that have been deleted, but for the most part, it's been over 160. And I just thank everybody for tuning in. Oh, all the people I've interviewed, close to 300 people in these past 8 years that I've been doing this particular broadcast. And I just want to thank everybody that helped me to launch it and to get it up and going, and who spoke into my life, you know, Ernest Richards and Savanda, and most of all, Coco Melvin, rest in peace, who originally gave me the idea and told me how to start it and things of that nature. So we're going to get into this. I know there's many things that you are celebrating on this year. So far, we're into April, going towards the end of April. There's got to be something that you've had victory over. And I know there was victory on yesterday, Resurrection Day, you know, when Christ, you know, died on the cross and he rose on the third day. And, you know, for the remission of our sins, and he paid the price with his blood. And so I'm going to get into some things, scriptures, before I interview my callers, because I have two amazing men that are going to be calling in on today. So tell a friend about this show. Forward the link to anyone in the world. Once the show is finished live, it will be available for people to listen to any day of the week and any time of the week. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hope you had a great Resurrection Sunday on yesterday, celebrating the victory of Christ. And also, I celebrated my 48th birthday on last month. We didn't have a show on last month, I want to give a birthday shout out to my nephew, Bam Bam, my mother, Shine, who shared the same day as me, the 28th of March, my sister Andrea, my sister Tammy, my niece Pinky Poo, my nephew Cammy Cam, I believe who's one now, my eldest godson who just turned 33 or 34. He's a Q dog now down in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Dee Dee, and my niece Jazzy Jazz and her mother, who just celebrated a birthday on yesterday, and Jazzy's birthday will be in a week. So now that we got the shout-outs out the way and everybody is in the celebration mode, you know, I just want to let you know what celebration means. It's a simple word. We heard it all our life. But I want to give you exact meaning of the word celebration. It means the action of marking one's pleasure at an important event or occasion by engaging in enjoyable, typically social, activities. Victory means an act of defeating an enemy or an opponent in battle, a game, or other competition. That defeating the enemy may be the enemy within you. Maybe it's something you're trying to conquer with on the inside, and we all have something. Maybe the opponent that you're trying to have victory over is yourself. Maybe you're competing with you. I know most of the time I'm not looking at nobody else. I'm trying to be better than who I was the year before. And so, you know, and work on me. Sometimes it's not the outer things, it's the inner things that people can't see, where you know, it's hidden. And so, you know, God, if you want to be worked on, God will definitely work on you. And it may not be pretty and it may not feel good. But I tell you, if you ask for it, you sure going to get it. A milestone is an action or event marking a significant change or stage in development. And so now that we have got an understanding of what those words mean, I want you to know that we are in celebration mode. And this year you will have victory. This year I will have victory. I speak life into myself every time I open up the show with an introduction. I may not be wealthy yet, but I am planning on getting there. And so I speak life to me. So for people who are spiritually minded, you understand those things. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so, Psalm 40, 10, it says, I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. And this doesn't have to be done over a pulpit. The commission of Christ and the commission of those who are saints is supposed to share and spread the good news. I do it in one way, through Diamonds in the Rough, by doing this radio show. And that's exactly why the enemy fights me so much, because of it, because I'm just not giving you a radio show, a talk show. I'm giving you the word of God in the beginning so you can marinate on it and you can work on you for yourself. Okay, because I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm trying to help you out, and I'm trying to help myself at the same time. It says in Colossians 2:15, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross, which is why we celebrated the resurrection day on yesterday. That was the milestone, the greatest milestone of Christ and what he did in becoming human and taking on our sins and bearing our sins. And so we are justified through him, through his blood that he shed for us. And once you have come into the fold and you have accepted Christ with your heart and your soul and you have confessed it with your mouth. And so that is the purpose of what yesterday was. It wasn't Easter, because Easter was a pagan god. And so we've replaced secular things of the world with God, you know, and it's not meaning that. The Easter bunny cannot lay eggs. And so, you know, all of this is a distraction, you know, that has been, you know, brainwashed into our minds as people who are in Christ. And so, and not just people who are in Christ, people in the United States, period. So, you know, get to the real root of what it means. And so let's go on to more scriptures, which is Proverbs 28:12. If my callers have called in, please hold the line. I'm going to finish up with my scriptures, and then I'm going to get into the bio for the first guest. Proverbs 28:12 says, when the godly succeed, everyone is glad. When the wicked take charge, people go into hiding. Psalm 62:1, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. Psalm 18:50, you give great victories to your king. You show unfailing love to your anointed, to David and all his descendants forever. That's us who have accepted Christ. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Yes, and I know that for me is truly a testimony, because if some of you knew what I had to even be online, you would not even believe it. And so, you know, God has given me strength, whether I'm going through or not, to try to hold on and continue on what he has told me and what mandate he has placed on my life. And so I will continue to do that by any means necessary. And so Joshua 10:8 says, do not be afraid of them. The Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Next, I want everybody to keep in mind the love of Christ. The main thing concerning his love is charity, giving. Isaiah 61:8 says, share your food with the hungry. Stop being greedy. Stop being selfish and hoarding stuff. If you're able to feed somebody else besides your own mouth, then do it. Try it. You know what I'm saying? And give shelter to the homeless, okay? Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. This is like true fasting, and it goes on to give other lists of what true fasting really is about. You know, helping those who are captive, et cetera, et cetera. So marinate on that. I'm going to go into some announcements. It's basically talking about my books. The Amazon site is up. You will be paying more if you go through Amazon. So I'm letting you know, please call or text me, email me. All the information is up there. Choose what book you want from the description on my website, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. Choose the book that you would like. Add $5 for the shipping and handling and the tax. Call me. Give me the information and proceed to cash.me/the money symbol DITR to pay, or there's other ways of paying, and then your order will be placed and allow 4 to 6 weeks. I'm going to take a quick 30-second break and play a little bit of music, and then I'm going to read my first caller's bio and click him in. So just hold on and wait very patiently. This is I Found Lovin' by the Fat Duck Band. Well, there we go. Y'all know the fat back I found loving. We're going to piggyback off of the last show that I had in February talking about love. And so I'm going to get into that because I have an awesome poet who is calling in from Maryland, and he is going to talk about love and himself. His name is Oba Yiga, and I hope I said that right. Also known as Oba, better known as King, is a poet, mechanic, event organizer, and djembe drummer. Born in Cali but raised in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Growing up, he was a troubled youth but has grown into a positive father. That's a wonderful thing right there. He has created the movement called Rally in Peace Project that started in Connecticut in 2015 with the annual main event called Rally in Peace, RIP Day. Recently has moved to Baltimore County, Maryland, and has brought his family along with the Poetry and Rest in Peace Project. King believes poetry is his ministry to provide insights, wisdom, and peace to those who listen and want to build. If each one reach one to teach one, like in the movie Precious, there will be a domino effect of victories. And I really agree with that, and that is so true. He's going to do a poem called Love for us on tonight. And this poem represents how he breaks down and expresses love. And so I'm going to click my first caller in, and we're going to talk to him. Hello?
Hello? Hey, Sherry.
Hi, how you doing? It's Sheree.
Sheree, I'm sorry if I got that wrong.
That's all right.
Sheree, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm great. God is able. That's all I can say in the midst of it all.
And you actually pronounce my name pretty good. A lot of people get that messed up so easily, but
really?
Oba Yiga.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. And so I just want you to get into a little bit about, you know, yourself and what inspired you to be a poet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so growing up, I didn't talk too much. You know, I was more to myself, but I'll always be a writer. I was an artist. It is in my blood, you know, from my past ancestors. But I was real, you know, not so outspoken. So I'll write thoughts down, stuff like that. Then I eventually got to the attraction of rapping. So I tried that out for a little while, but I couldn't really find the right booths or someone, you know, to let me get some good time in to get my voice right. Cause
okay.
It's not easy talking in front of people and just talking out loud, period. It
right.
wasn't easy for me, especially because when I was young, I lost my front tooth. It got chipped. So I didn't want to smile or, you know, open my mouth too much. So that's another reason why I didn't talk too much growing up.
You were shy.
Yeah, but, you know, I started to get off that attraction of, you know, rapping and stuff. But I did write some stuff down, and I took a break from it. And it's the same time where I was running the streets and doing all type of nonsense. So that was inside my writings, you know. It was showing. And I didn't really like it all the way. So I did take a break. I was growing up. I did some learning, and I did a lot more reading. And then after I did that, I started to rewrite some of my old stuff. And I got to a point I had to throw away some stuff because I was just like, you know, it was so much negative energy from it. I didn't really feel I should present it, especially at my new mindset. So
okay,
I started to cut off just music and just started pretty much doing acapella, what they say. Without the music, you know,
okay.
Rapping about the music. Then I started to slow it down to try to put emphasis on certain words that I want to present. Then I realized this is poetry, you know, so I started just going to more open mics. And the first time I went to open mic, it was downtown Bridgeport, something called Poets Around, and they do it every Wednesday. So I went one time, I sat down on the stool, had a mic room. I was like, you know, curled up. But I did have a poem, and the people loved it. You know, they gave me some good feedback and good energy from it. So ever since then, I went every week.
Really, I really enjoyed when I saw you last year, which is why I stayed in contact with you when I saw you perform at an event that my girlfriends were singing at. And
yeah, that was about 3 weeks, three months after I, you know, first started to go to the poetry platform, too.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. But see, I stayed consistent with it, so it was kind of easy for me to grow because I'm one to learn off another. I hear what people say about, you know, about my poems, how I could critique it, make it better, or just listening to other poets that has, you know, a crazy mindset about how to break down a story, pretty much. They, like, paint a picture through their poetry,
yes.
and it's like, it gave me some ideas, and I'm learning off them, you know.
Well, yep, and everybody has a different style, you know. And,
yeah, that's the thing, too.
Yeah, different style, and, you know, and I believe that more experience you have, the more you're able to write about, you know, especially overcoming, you know.
Sure.
What do you think?
Well, staying consistent with it is the most important thing as far as getting better, and I've been trying to stay as consistent as I can, you know.
Well, Ova, you know what? Let's go right into it. I want to hear this poem, love. Before we, you know, start to run out of time. So go right into it.
I'm about
to run
out of time already.
Yep, start sitting.
So, just by the way, I appreciate that I was listening before you put me on about you acknowledge or you respect how I am a father and taking care of my child. So I named my daughter. I named my daughter Love. Her name is Amora. Amora.
Oh, wow.
So, nowadays I've been writing poems just to appreciate love and, you know, something I can read to my daughter bringing up. So, I hope you enjoy it.
Okay.
It's going to be love. So, I love you, my family. My friends and some of you foes, you negative, miserable souls, this message is for you. See, I'm talking to every race, regardless beliefs or skin color. I need y'all to just look at me as your brother, because I love you. And for those that experience self-hate and don't know their true value, I need y'all to just look in the mirror every morning and say to yourself, self, I love you. And for those who set goals, but not the ones who talk about them, the ones that pursue, into the ones that struggle daily but continue to push through. Even to the ones that like to lay up all day and watch Netflix and Hulu, but even more to the ones that stay busy and active and do what they got to do. To those that knows patience, and to those that understand respect, to those that have principles and morals, and to those that forgive but never forget. To those that stay optimistic, and to those that's not afraid to tell the truth. Much love goes out to those that understand it takes a village to raise the youth. See, love, although to me love is blind, like I can't see it, yet I know it fuels everything but time. Love is silent, but it's loud, and it's also invisible. See, love is so sensitive, yet it could be so strong and so real. But it's a shame love gets played with because love is so sensitive. People talk so much junk about love, and I'm like, please, just let love live. See, love is patience. Yet love gets rushed. Love can feel so good, leading people to mistake love for lust. See, Sherry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to get this right. See, I don't believe in love at first sight, because this is the emotions of lust that sparks in the likes of the eye senses. People are quick to jump into what they think is love, but soon enough they face those consequences. See, love is vulnerable, but like I said, love is so strong. Love is my daughter, and I dare anyone to do my love wrong. Love is my God. Love is my poetry. Love is universal, and love lives for eternity. But unfortunately, love can fade, but it can always increase. I love y'all that's listening, and I hope y'all enjoyed love in this piece.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, The lyrics are very, very touching and so true.
Yeah, can I promote a little thing that I'm doing in Bridgeport? There's an event coming up in June.
So yeah,
if anybody's listening, and I hope you could come too, is the fourth annual Peace Day in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The festival is going to be at Seaside Park. Well, we're going to begin the festival with what we call a Peace Walk. So the Peace Walk is going to start at Central High School at 11 o'clock. And we're going to walk down to Seaside via Park Ave. And once we get there, we're going to get the festival going. We got flag football games. We got tug of peace games we're going to do. We're going to do, we got the Willie contest going on out there. We got a lot of stuff for the kids, like bouncy house and face paint. And we got free food and ice cream. So it's going to be a nice
event. What is the date and what is the time?
The date is June 8th. It's a Saturday.
Okay.
Like I said, the walk starts at 11. We have some shuttles actually going to be at Seaside Park at the band show where the festival is going to take place. They're going to wait there at 10, and it's going to depart about 10:15 and 10:30 to bring the people to the beginning of the Peace Walk at Central. Just to give the people that's going to be in the festival the luxury of having their car at the destination point instead of at the beginning. But it's going to be nice to have free water. We're going to have free water checkpoints throughout Park Ave. It's going to be beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be beautiful. So I hope you could come. We got vendors coming out.
Yes.
And
I hope I can too. And who's in charge? Who's getting it?
It's Bradley and Peace Project with Pitts. It's a new organization that's coming up. It's called Peace in the Streets Acronym. And another organization called Bridgeport Lacrosse Sports Academy.
So, okay, I understand. Yeah. I think there was
Bradley
one last year,
Project.
Wasn't there?
Yes, so this is the fourth annual we're doing this peace walk into the festival. So,
right. Okay.
But it pretty much is all of us together as a uniting partnership.
Right, I understand. All right,
like I said,
wonderful.
It's not just one organization, so we all coming together for the community, and we're going to do this consistently because it's important.
Yes. Well, we have time for one more question. We have to go to another break. But overcoming your shyness was definitely a victory in your life to get you to this stage right now.
Yeah.
But what would you say would be a more recent victory for you that you have overcome, something that you have are celebrating?
There's so many. I say the most important right now is having my own space, getting my first keys, especially supporting my own family. So
mm-hmm.
I believe that was a victory for myself.
Yes, it is a victory. Every day.
True indeed.
Every day
true
that's
indeed.
A victory.
True indeed.
And so
having some
what are
over
your
head,
plans?
You know, being grateful.
What are your plans coming up for, Maryland? What are you going to be doing while you're down there?
Well, what I've been doing is going to different forage platforms. And I've been to other organizations like community meetings and forums and building some connections and networking as far as bringing out the awareness of Rallying Peace Project. We actually had an event last month. It was Rallying Peace Project presented something called Rhythm and Peace. We had a showcase of performers that's based in Baltimore, and they were amazing. One of them is one of the contendants for the Apollo. But a few people came from Connecticut also, and they performed. And it was beautiful.
Okay.
But that was just an awareness.
Yeah.
So for the meantime, we've just been building awareness for the Rallying Peace Project and just keeping my consistency as far as getting my voice out there and critiquing.
Right.
And
Absolutely. And you continue on, and you're doing, I mean, for somebody who just started, you're doing great. I remember when I first started writing the poetry books, and, you know, it just trickled into so much more, and, you know, we evolve. So that poetry is always going to be within you. You know, once you're a lyricist, you're a lyricist. So you just develop your craft as time goes on and there's different seasons in your life. So I just commend you. I commend you for doing what you need to do as a father and as a family man and as a poet, bringing us this awareness and wisdom. So you keep doing what you're doing, and God bless you. And we'll definitely be in touch.
No doubt. Please do. And like I said, I hope you could come to the peace day. Night.
Yes, I'm gonna get in touch with you, definitely.
No doubt. Till then, peace and blessings.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was King giving his poetry on love and his take, sharing who he is as a man, a father, a family man, and as a poet, and the things that he's done and how he's overcome this shyness. And so I'm going to go to a break. You're listening to Talk to Me Radio, and I'm going to play a little bit of Keisha Rainey, who was a former guest about a year ago on my show, who was on Dr. Bobby Jones' show at some point, and this is her song, Breakthrough.
Been living my life like everything's okay. See, nobody knows my pain, all the hurt inside. My struggle from day to day. Each tear I cry, my daddy wipes away. So I know.
The break.
there you have it. That was Keisha. There you have it. That was Keisha Rainey's Breakthrough. That song always touches my soul. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio. I am Minister Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in as we celebrate 9 years as of the 23rd, which is tomorrow. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in, sharing this show with friends and with family. And when we talk about victory, I've had many victories, some very tiny and minute that some may not consider a victory in this past year, year and a half. And I've had some victories that were major. And many may not know my story, but I think I'm going to share it, just a taste of it on tonight. I've been suffering from homelessness and going through due to a back condition. And I'm not going to go into details of that back condition, but it has progressed over the past year. And it's been very difficult, you know, after sleeping in my car for 7 months, being in a shelter, not offered any assistance as far as apartment because the person claimed I had too much education, being discriminated against that and made to leave the shelter for no apparent reason, just for the fact that I have a master's degree. And then going through changes, living with alcoholics, living with crackheads, living with cokeheads, living with all different kind of manner of people over the past year. 12 different times I have moved. I almost had a heart attack in December because I was homeless, because people don't know how to keep their word, I find nowadays. And it's not just Christians, it's everybody. You know, and when people say they're going to help you, sometimes they're sticking out a hand to help you and they're stabbing you in the back with the other hand. And so sometimes help is not always good help. And those that you think might help you, if you know, if certain family don't step in, who do you have to turn to? Well, the only person I had to turn to was Jesus Christ. And the only reason why I'm sitting here speaking to you on this radio show, celebrating 9 years of broadcast and sharing the good news of the gospel and not losing my mind and being in South One or the Nut House or not being in jail or not being somewhere that I should not be, is because of Christ. It's because of the faith. It's because of the mustard seed that I have held on to in good, bad, and in different times, and had to hold my peace in situations where people were very malicious. And so I thank God because I survived it and I overcame it. And I'm still trying to reach out to people for assistance and help. And, you know, it's funny how when you can help a community, I've been doing Diamonds in the Rough, doing community service for 17, 18 years now. And, you know, sometimes it hurts when you see that people don't care and they don't reach back to you, but they expect you to do so much for them or for their children or for this or for that. And, you know, and I tried not to be bitter as I was sleeping in my car during the nor'easter under a snowstorm and with blankets in the freezing cold. I tried not to die. You know, as I saw the glass coming, the glossiness coming over my eyes, and I thought that I would not make it to the next day, having pneumonia in the car. And you would think that certain people would step in and people say to me, well, why didn't this person, why didn't that person? I have no idea. But all I know is that I stand strong on my faith. And so when you look at me, just remember, I am a testimony. That's the testimony. I may not have a lot right now, you know, because everything has been stripped from me. But I do know that there is a God. And I believe that he is a waymaker and a rebuilder and a restorer. And I'm trying so greatly to hold onto my faith. And I appreciate everyone that has prayed for me. And one of the men that have prayed for me and that have encouraged me is this man that's about to come on right now. And his name is Evangelist Antonio Rock. Hello?
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, too. Yes, let me get this off speaker. I didn't even realize that I had it on speaker. But in any case, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I know you have something to share with us on tonight, a word that's going to touch, whoever's heart who is listening at this time as we're talking about celebrating victory. So tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Well, first of all, my name is Evangelist Antonio Rock. My birth name is Antonio Rock. I was born in Mount Vernon, New York. My parents moved to Connecticut in 1970. And I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut. I went through the school systems there. I graduated high school from in Stamford, Connecticut. I had a pretty much long journey here in the state of Connecticut, and I am still here. I am a born-again Christian. I love the Lord with all of my heart. He is my life. He is my strength. And I love him dearly, and I just thank God for everything that he has done in my life. I thank God for delivering me from substance abuse. For years, I was involved with substance abuse. I remember as a little kid growing up, if you can remember way back in the days when it was normal, I remember my when they used to have the little cans of Budweiser's. I remember my mother and father giving me and my brother little cans of Budweiser at the age of 8 and 9 years old. So I basically my addiction at a very young age. I had a taste for alcohol. They would all also smoke marijuana, and back in those days they would allow the children to take a little puff of the weed and stuff like that. So very active using substances at a very young age. From that time, I ventured off. My grandmother got us involved with the church, and I was involved with the church very heavy, received the Holy Ghost, received Christ at the age of, I believe it was about 9, 10 years old. Was living with my grandmother, going back and forth to church, and was really enjoying church. But back in those days, much as you learned was basically in Sunday school. So in those times, those days back in the 70s and the 80s, when you were told to do something, you didn't ask questions. You just did it.
Yes,
so anyway, here I am today. Thanks be unto God. I would like to share a little of my testimony, but I'm going to allow you to speak at this time, I guess, if you would like to. But
I just wanted to say, yes, I remember, back in the day I met you when we were living on the South End, and we were both attending Dolan Middle School, and I was bad,
wow.
And you were the quiet, good kid, and I was the one fighting on the bus, and... and I can relate to your story, getting saved at 9, because I got saved at 9. Your grandparents bringing you to church and trying to be that anchor. So I completely understand where you're coming from. And go ahead, share your testimony. Go ahead, speak.
So with that being said, as I got in my teenage years, I got involved with some friends who was heavy into drugs, heavy into drug dealing, heavy into the street life. So me, myself, I had been raised up for the last 4 or 5 years with my grandmother going back and forth to church. So I wasn't really street wise. I wasn't street knowledgeable. I didn't have any knowledge about the streets. So eventually I ventured out and I started drinking wine. I believe they called it Night Train back then. I think it was a green bottle with a blue label or something like that. But anyway, so I got involved. Started sniffing speed. I started sniffing coke. Started smoking marijuana. I just kept gradually going from level to level with drug usage until I finally graduated using crack cocaine. When I met crack cocaine, that's when my life took a downward spiral. I first started out selling crack cocaine. It was a very lucrative business back in the 80s. A lot of people had their hands in the dealing of crack cocaine. I can remember, making a lot of money, and it seemed to be a good business. It seemed like I was about to take off and soar into the sky like everybody else was doing who was doing it. But unfortunately, I started using the product with one of my runners who used to sell the drugs for me. He introduced me into using it, and like I said, from that day, my life took a downward spiral. That was in 1988-89, and I went on a long journey using crack cocaine for the next maybe 10, 15, almost 20 years of using crack cocaine, going in and out of prison, getting arrested, going into drug rehabilitation centers, staying in shelters, being homeless, sleeping in the back of cars, sleeping in abandoned buildings, eating out of soup kitchens, eating out of garbage cans, you name it, I was there, prostituting my body with females for so that I could get high and stuff like that. I mean, I did all different type of things, and I'm just grateful for God. Thanks be unto God. My grandmother had instilled in me Christian values. So even though I was like the prodigal son, I was a little dirty, I had ventured off from the kingdom, and I was in a foreign land, I still knew somewhat my father's voice, which is God. God began to speak to me through different people, and my road to recovery began to start. Now, was it a smooth road? No, it wasn't. I never thought that I would be delivered from crack cocaine. I never thought that I would be delivered from that life. I thought in my mind that I would live the rest of my life in bondage to drugs and alcohol, being homeless, roaming the streets. I thought that I would be in the place that I am in now. I am so grateful to God that God delivered me from that and brought me out of bondage. I know the scripture says that whosoever, I believe it's Romans 10 and 13, it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me. And I'm grateful to this day, and I make it my business to share with people the love of Jesus Christ. I share with people the salvation. I share with people the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave me hope. I was hopeless. I was bound. I was dead. I couldn't see my way out, but he gave me hope. He gave me a future. He gave me a life. As it says in the Word of God, it says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give unto you an expected end. And he said, you shall seek me and you shall find me after you have sought for me with all your heart. And I began to seek God with all my heart. And today I can gladly say that for the last over 10 years, that I have been clean and sober and walking with the Lord, have a family and everything is well, and I am excited about God. And if there's anything that I can tell anyone who is listening today, I don't know what it is that you're going through, what it is that you're dealing with, what situation may seem to be hopeless. I want to say, the song says, late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn it around. And I want to speak to someone listening on the air right now. God can turn your life around. It may seem hopeless. It may seem like it can't never come back together again. I know they had a saying that say, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Humpty back together again. There is a king that can't put you back together. God from heaven. I feel the Holy Ghost here now. Amen, woman of God. Yes. I'm not going to try to talk too long. I'm going to go ahead and...
No, that's all
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I learned I learned some things, and as usual, you always seem to encourage me, and that's probably because we've come out of a lot of the same bondages and a lot of the same places. You know, and, you know, I overcome the alcoholism, been free from that, the sexual promiscuity, the sexual molestation, the rape, starting to pimp women. My mind was so warped, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Getting locked up so many times over and over and over and over. And, you know, and so I understand that kind of bondage when you wake up and the first thing on your mind is getting high. You know, so I understand that, you know, and so, you know, it's just an awesome testimony that you have, because like I was telling you before, I did not know all of that, because like I said, at Dolan, you know, when we was kids, you was the quiet, good boy, you know, coming to the bus stop with your brother, you know.
I was able to cover it well.
Yes, you was.
Yes,
I was
the able to
cover suspended it all the time. Yeah.
Yep, and I knew how to win her a smile, even though I was wounded. I was wounded.
Yes.
My mother couldn't hold a job down. She was into alcoholism. Me and my brother used to wear each other clothes, and there were so many different things that I was dealing with at that time. Thoughts of suicide, wanted to kill myself, attempted suicide on several occasions, but God kept me for a time such as this, and I am grateful. And as David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his wonderful benefits towards me? He said, I will drink the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, he said that he will begin to declare to people and let everyone know what God had did for him in his call of distress. And that's what I do today. I let everyone know that your situation that seems to be hopeless, there is a God of hope that can turn your life around. I am a living witness of what God can do.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And a powerful, I feel the anointing. I feel the presence of God, because this right here is some real stuff. This ain't stuff we made up. This ain't something we got from a book. This ain't something that we heard from somebody else. This is stuff that we had to go through, whether we made the bad decision or not, or the root of why we made the bad decision. You came out of it. And so that's a testimony itself to many men, especially the ones that we grew up with that got into the drug scene, the gang banging. You know, a lot of people our age is dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're not even here no more to even give a testimony. You know?
Wow.
And so you made it through that. You're a black man, you know, number one, who made it through all of those different victories. You know, and that's what we're talking about, celebrating victory on today.
Amen. Amen. And since you bring it up about being a young black, about being a black male, you have to understand, in the 80s, when the crack epidemic was taking place and crack cocaine was being sold in large quantities, people were being killed and destroyed, they had already predicted that our lifespan wouldn't be past the age of 25. I don't know if you remember that, if anyone is on the air listening to this. Remember our lifespan, we would not go past, my God, I'm getting goosebumps now by just talking about it. They said that we would not go past the age of 25. And I'm grateful. In November 2019, I will be 50 years old. 50.
Wow, you older than me? I ain't know you was older than me. You got me by 2 years.
So what they said would not happen, God gave me life.
Yes.
And longevity of life, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I really am.
Yes.
And I just can't say it enough.
Family, beautiful children. You know, you have, you know, a beautiful family on top of that. You know what I'm saying?
Amen, amen, amen. Beautiful wife, two sons, three daughters, and the Lord is good. He's good.
Yes.
The scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to taste them for yourself. You have to give them a taste. So whoever it is that may be listening on this line, I reach out to you in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't care how low you are, how high you are. I don't care who you are, homosexual, lesbian, gangbanger, whoever you are. The Lord will accept you into his kingdom.
Yes.
He will accept you. He loves everyone. The Bible says he so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The key word is whosoever shall believe in him. Whosoever.
Absolutely.
Whosoever will, let him come.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Celebrating victory.
Amen.
That victory, I'm celebrating your victories. All woman of God, all that you come through as I listen to your testimony on the radio, as you were sharing on the blog just now. I mean, God is an awesome God, and it's not over. It's not over. Whatever it is that you're going through, all things work together for the good to those that love God and according to his purpose.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, and it's not an easy road. You know, somebody lied to me when they said, you know, when I rededicated myself after coming off the streets and losing everything, acting a fool out there and dibbling, dabbling cocaine. I was 29, thought I'd be dead at 30, so I didn't care because my father died at 30. So I thought I was going to die at 30 because I was starting to do some of the things that he had done. So that's what my mind thought. So I was like, it's over with anyway. I might as well party like a rock star. And I was waking up in the streets, having to go to work. I had good jobs, you know, back then in the 90s. It wasn't hard to find no job. I was, you know, educated, and I had great jobs. But I would be waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning, laid out on West Main, and have to dash home to get in the shower to go to work. You know, and this was the repetitiveness of what the things that I was doing. And, you know, it just brings me back. And sometimes we need to be reminded, but it's not always going to be easy. You know, when you come in so much, come from so much bondage, so much baggage, so much of a toxic relationships, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that thing takes a while, you know, I just am grateful.
It surely is a process. It is a process,
right.
And it doesn't happen overnight. Unfortunately, a lot of people, they sell people that pipe dream even today that it happens overnight, and it's a process. To the renewed life,
right.
To the new life. There's a process. There's a road to recovery. There's a road to recovery. But as the scripture says, thanks be unto God. Back to your blog and what you're celebrating today. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory and causes us to triumph. So thanks be unto God that has given you the victory.
Amen.
Thanks be unto giving me the victory. Thanks be unto God that shall give someone else the victory and cause us to triumph. He's the one that causes us to triumph because we cannot do it on our own. We can't
sure
do it on our own. But I'm grateful, woman of God, for your victories, and I'm celebrating victory today. We are victorious. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. We have the victory, even though it seems like we are defeated. It looks like we're defeated, but we're not. We are victorious.
Amen. And on that note, I'm going to end, and I want to thank you so much, Evangelist Antonio Rock, for calling in and sharing a word and your testimony, because I know it's going to bless everyone that is going to listen to this particular show or who is listening right now. So thank you so much, and God bless.
You woman of God. Thank you. God bless you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was King Oba and Evangelist Antonio Rock. Today we were celebrating my ninth season with Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio, and just want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you would like to be interviewed, please contact me. Fees do apply, and it goes as a donation to the show. I had to get another laptop this year. There's so many things that has to be done to continue ministry. So pray on it. If you're able to give a monetary donation or something in kind, please contact me. My information is up there. God bless until next broadcast. And I'm going to take you out with a little bit of the introduction music that I made.
I'm ready. I can dig strapping.